T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's Metal Shop here. I'm recording in my bedroom, as you've probably caught on by now. I've talked to a few people, and I'm going to be talking right now with Tom from Indecision, and also Most Precious Blood and Axe to Grind podcast. And he's a busy man over there in New York City. So while a lot of us are staying at home, he is on the front lines. First off, how are you doing? How are you staying sane these days?
Hey, I'm doing all right. You know, it's pretty stressful over here in New York City, but we have a job to do, and we're gonna make sure we keep everyone as safe as possible and kind of do what we're meant to do.
Absolutely.
How's everything out in Seattle?
Well, I mean, fortunately am able to stay home and stay safe and stuff. I'm kind of just taking some time to do some podcast recording and stuff. And I know you've been doing that too. You've been extra active with the podcast. You on Axe to Grind, it seems like almost every day or every other day you guys are uploading something. What's your schedule like on that?
Yeah, I mean, Bob is kind of, like, really taking the lead on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I had been, like, I was still working at the time. So, like, one of those episodes, I was literally at my desk at work.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of, the governor in New York was, like, kind of asking everyone to go to, like 50% capacity, and then it was, like, 75%. Like, and so the numbers in our office are dwindling. So I was literally the only person in the office. So I was like, I have time. So, like, we recorded one while I was working. And then, so, like, Bob has really kind of done a ton of it, like, having some of the folks closer to him. We record together every 3 days or so.
Okay.
But, like, we record a bunch, we kind of try to record a bunch at a time.
Yeah.
Just so we can kind of, like, sort of divvy them up over the week.
So you, are you still working? Like, did you work today?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm working a lot from home, but still kind of managing everything. But I still go into the office once in a while as well.
Are you able to at least kind of touch on what it is you do and why your job is essential? And are you able to mention that?
Sure, of course. Yeah. So what I do, I run this a program. My title is like senior director. So our program works with people coming out of Rikers Island with mental health issues.
Okay, yeah.
So Rikers Island is our main jail in New York City.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah, so what we're doing is, we provide a service. Like, we kind of, we get referred certain clients. We work with them while they're still incarcerated. And we try to help kind of make that transition back into the community as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
In terms of everything. So it's like setting them up with any kind of treatment they may need, helping with, like, housing, getting, job skills, all, like, literally anything under the sun. And it's very kind of individualized for everybody that we're working with. So it's, like, no matter where they are in life, we kind of meet them where they're at and we kind of provide the services that they need. So Rikers, like, the pandemic has hit it pretty goddamn hard.
Yeah.
So, like, the last article I had read was that people incarcerated are the virus is spreading 75 times as quickly as in public.
Jesus.
So thankfully, not quick enough, but a lot of the governor and the mayor are making reviewing these lists and letting people go with lower level crime, people that were in for dumb technical parole things. Like,
sure,
if you missed an appointment, you used to get sent back to jail. It's kind of like they didn't commit another crime. They just didn't follow a rule So, like, why are you keeping – so, like, there's been in the last, like, you know, less than a week, about 900 people released.
Holy.
I mean, now, mind you, at its height, Rikers had 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
Now it's down to about 5,000. So they got, you know, 20%. Still not great by any means, but they're at least, it's kind of starting to. So a lot of those folks are being released last second. So now they're back in the community with nothing set up. So that's kind of where we come in and make sure that, you know, the hope is to kind of break that cycle and get people into services so they're not going back.
All those people have to go through, I mean, a lot of those people have to go through you and your program. So. Yeah, you can't phone that in, dude. That sounds like you have a lot of work on your plate.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we signed up for. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, the nurses and doctors and stuff that are working with the people that are kind of dealing with this now. It's nothing like that, but it's still, you know, we're deemed essential. So as long as we're deemed essential, we'll be there.
You know, one thing that I never thought before this, all of this was occurring, is how important the gatekeepers of, like, grocery workers, how important they are.
Oh, of course. They're really the backbone of everything.
Yeah. It's crazy.
If it wasn't for folks that were, you know, still going to, I mean, I don't know how it is out in Washington, but, like, in New York, restaurants are still open. You can't go and sit, but you can get takeout or you can get delivery.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how it is here.
Right. So, and supermarkets are still open. Pharmacies are still open. All these folks that, you know, everyone's complaining about getting $15 an hour. If we didn't have them, we would literally be, it would be 300 years ago, you know? And
we'd all
be like, no food, no electricity, no, we'd literally be back in the dark ages, you know?
You know, my sister, she's got 4 kids, and I don't have any kids, so I feel kind of lucky on the end of, like, man, for me, I'm, you know, I'm kind of just getting by, and luckily, but I don't have kids running up the walls going crazy, so at least I've got that.
Right, yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of friends with horror stories, so, I mean, I get it, and I read somebody was saying, like, there's like some Twitter, something on Twitter, and the guy, somebody lives in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. They were like, my next door neighbor brings his kids out like every 3 hours just to scream at the top of their lungs and then brings them back inside.
Oh my God.
Just to get that, like, I guess people need that relief.
You know, I'm not sure if this was real or not, but I did see it. Like, it was kind of viral. You know how in Italy people were going out on their balconies and playing music, but apparently in New York City, someone tried to do that, and the people were like, "Shut the f- up!"
I saw that. That sounds about right, because there was another one that people were kind of sending around where it was like a whole neighborhood was rapping along to Biggie Smalls.
Yeah,
and that was fake. That was totally fake, but, like, I could totally picture being, like, it's like Coming to America.
Yeah.
Like, you too. Like, that's, like, I would not be surprised that, like, some dyed-in-the-wool 75-year-old, you know, old guy from New York is like, shut up.
Yep. What's the vibe like in New York City right now? I mean, because you still got to go to work sometimes when you're not working from home. What's the vibe like out on the streets? Like, what, is it pretty eerie for you?
It's super eerie. It's you know, being here, like, after 9/11, it was kind of like that as well. But, like, people are still, like, able to get out and about.
Yeah.
You know, you still go to the restaurant. But it has that, like, kind of somber feeling. And I think a lot of that, you know, this is that, but even more. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like people are just walking around, like, shocked. Like, they can't believe, like, what is happening. And, I mean, stores are closed. It just, you know, there's no cars in the street. You know, buses that would usually be crowded. There's, like, a bus that I usually take home at night, like, passed by my apartment building, and there were 2 people on it.
Oh, my God.
And it's usually, like, forget it. Yeah, so it's really surreal. It's not really that much different from, like, 28 days later.
So $1,200, how big of an apartment can that get you in New York City?
You could probably get one with, like, 4 other people if you live in a bunk bed.
That's what I was. Seattle and in San Francisco too, but New York City especially.
It's like a one time. Yeah, I mean, I think San Francisco is actually worse than New York at this point. But, like, I remember seeing I feel like a one bedroom average in New York City is $2,800.
Holy.
Something along those lines.
Okay, well, let's think a little bit more positive here. I mean, there's a
yes.
Let's talk more positive here, man. So, if you say you've got you wake up in the morning, you listen to the Daily, the New York Times podcast, you're stressing out, you're looking at all this news, it's grim. What's an album that you could put on that will put you at ease or de-stress you or give you less anxiety?
Trying to think, do I go Sad Bastard or just something that is just like my go-to? You know what? That's really tough. This is not going to go over well for your listeners.
Yeah.
But I might go something to write home about to get up kids.
Hey, man, that's a good record. I have that on vinyl, so.
You know, like, it's fun. It's like sort of upbeat. Mind you, I'm also stuck in a small New York City apartment.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be like, I'm putting in, like, I'm listening to Redneck Stomp or something by Obituary, but, like, not really helping.
Yeah.
It doesn't really help me in this tiny, confined space. So, something like that, maybe like a Julian Baker record or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, man. So speaking of that, and on the positive side of things, like, what are maybe three or four things that you can think of, like, off the top of your head that you're, like, super grateful for today?
Wow. So far, knocking on wood, my family and most of my friends are all still healthy and safe from all this.
Mm-hmm.
That would be number one, first and foremost. I'm thankful for people that are kind of putting out content like this and like podcasts and all stuff like that. Cause I was reading something that like podcasts like this are almost like it helps with the quarantine. Cause it's as if other people are in the room.
Yes.
Which may be an issue for some folks, maybe not, your sister with four kids, but like the people that live alone and stuff, mm-hmm. kind of like, people would always like kind of text me and like DM me about like, they'd like respond to the Axe to Grind podcast, like out loud.
Yeah.
As if like, when they were driving around, like what the, no, man. So if podcasts have been hugely helpful for me, just kind of getting through the day with work and all that sort of stuff. I'm thankful for all the essential workers in New York that are still kind of keeping everything as normal as we can be at this point.
Yeah.
And probably thankful for, whoever created the PlayStation 4 because it's keeping me busy otherwise.
What's your games?
I'm more of a sports game guy. I have no, I'm incredibly impatient, so I can't I'll play, Grand Theft Auto, and 20 minutes into it, I'm like, so now I'm in a helicopter and cops are after me. Like, I don't have, the patience to kind of, go. So I'm playing a lot of baseball and a lot of basketball.
Man, remember those things?
I miss it. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, this might be one of your questions because we're both wrestling nerds.
Yeah.
What do you think about this whole empty arena stuff?
It's odd. I have a mixed feelings about it. I just thought it was inevitable that something like Roman Reigns backing out, because I mean, obviously he's immunocompromised because he just battled leukemia, and like, more power to him for backing out. But that's just, it to me, as much as I love, WWE and I'll always be a mark, that's a sign of him, that's a sign that, hey, maybe we shouldn't be going ahead with this while everyone else is canceling everything.
Right.
That being said, I will probably watch it. It's just very surreal, I just think, right now, there would be, the start of WrestleMania week, and there'd be, 1,000 indie wrestling events happening, and, with, Joey Janela's right. Spring Break and all that. And, for me personally, I feel, WWE, I was talking to Vince Averill from We Watch Wrestling, and we were talking earlier today, and we were talking...
I love his podcast.
Yeah, it's amazing. We were talking amazing. About... how, WWE, AEW, they'll get through this and they're going to take some hit financially, but they'll be okay. Can you imagine being a GCW or one of those Black Label Pro or one of those small companies and this your whole year depends on this? And it's how much money probably just the loss? Oh my God, it's insane.
Well, and there was something with, was it WrestleCon or whatever, that like they canceled, the hotels wouldn't like refund most of their money. So now like they're fighting about it and all this.
It's a nightmare.
It's just like
a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, that's the line, that's the big portion of you know, their, like you said, their income for the year. And I think even for the big ones, like I was talking about it on, they had asked me on our podcast,
yeah.
Sort of like, I think like, no matter what, that stuff hurts. Like the like wrestling hurts. I know it's like, it's all, you know who's going to win and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Falling on your back is never fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now you having to do that in, with no feedback. Like I would, like, I always equate it to like being in a hardcore band, like yelling doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
It's not awesome. But like now having to do that in front of no one for like weeks on end, it's brutal with no like response from anybody else. I couldn't imagine like being like, oh, cool. Like I'm, you know, Darby Allin is throwing himself all over the place and it's dead silence because there's literally no one else allowed in the building.
Can you imagine if they put like a laugh or a cheer track on it?
You know what? Don't give them any ideas. All of a sudden they'll be, you know. All the backstage vignettes will be getting, you know, raucous applause.
This is going to be, go down as like the strangest time for like wrestling fans. And do you, like, have you even out of morbid curiosity had a chance to like watch any of the Raws or SmackDowns or AEWs like with the empty arenas?
Yeah, I watched primarily AEW. Like, I, at this point, WWE is torture. So I literally watch. For some reason, and dumb on their part, they do a 3-minute YouTube wrap-up show.
And you're like, oh, that's all you need.
That's literally all you need. Like, you get the whole, you get the gist of everything. Like, so I watched the one on Monday. The only thing that they didn't include was the dude from the Street Profits completely eating.
Oh, that was gnarly.
Oh, my God. That wasn't planned, I don't think. So that sucked. But, like, so yeah, the AEW stuff, like I think they've been doing much better. Like they've been handling the situation much better.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Matt Hardy thing was a little corny at the end.
Yeah.
you know, like him like teleporting and just him like controlling the fireworks. I thought that was a little much. But otherwise, I mean, I think they're handling it as well as you possibly could.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's going to go down as one of the strangest times. I mean, for the world, dude.
Period.
Period.
Yeah, not even with wrestling. I mean, you know, 25 years from now, you're going to remember, like, it's funny. Like, so even at work, so like we're part of like this, you know, we work under this other kind of city agency, and they're like, so when you're writing, like we have to document everything. When you're writing documentation, just make sure you include, you couldn't do X, Y, and Z because of COVID-19, just in case we're reviewing stuff later on and we don't remember. I was like, you're never going to forget this. Like, we will die before we forget what happened.
Oh, yeah.
In 2020. Like, there's no, you'll never forget this. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of funny, you know, to think that, like, people, this is something that will live on for as long as anyone who's been around for it will never forget about it.
Well, so you're in New York City, and New York City is such, like, so known for sports radio, you know, like WFAN and all that. And
yeah, all it is COVID stuff. There's no, I mean, there's no sports to really talk of.
Yeah, so what?
But
what,
there's no even, like, fantasy stuff. And
What do the New York sports media, what are they covering now? So they're just giving straight COVID news?
For the most part, like, they have people calling in, and, like, they kind of, it's all, like, sort of, like, well, when do you think baseball will be back?
Sure.
Will they do empty stadium games? What about, like, but there's nothing else to really, I mean, everything else feels like it's, how could you talk about, like, who cares who's getting drafted first?
Mm-hmm.
But so they're all, like, they're all working from home, which is, it also makes for a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
They have some, like, I forget what the machine is called, but they all, like, kind of can do it over, like, I guess it's an ISDN line, whatever it is. It's, like, supposed to be a diversion, but it's not, you know?
Yeah.
It's just as bad, you know?
That's crazy, man. It's a lot of what's going on. But at the same time, like, if you could, and I'm, you know, continuously trying to be like aggressively optimistic, just like trying as hard as I can, like, oh, God damn it, I'm going to try and be positive. So if you could, what do you think at the end of this, you know, whatever the timeline is, who knows, but at the end of this, what are some lessons we can learn from this, you think, or what positives do you think will come to society and you know, our communities after this?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think I always hope, and I even for my own, like, I'm a little bit of a homebody, and I kind of take things for granted sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and or they're like, yeah, I know that show's going on, but this couch is pretty comfortable. Or like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to go get lunch with so-and-so, but, you know, they don't call. I'm not going to call. You know what I mean? And I think it'll make people sort of make more of an effort. I hope. I hope it's a longstanding thing and not one of those kind of like how it was, honestly, post 9/11. Everyone in New York loved each other. And then in December, it was back to shit, you know what I mean? But I hope, you know, people kind of, rekindle, like, if they have, you know, relationship problems with their family, that, you know, they have kind of been in, you know, people are kind of seeing the gravity of the situation and not wanting to wait too long, you know, in case something did happen.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, hopefully people sort of, like, it's a joke, like, there's a meme going around, like, please invite me to everything, I swear I'll show up. And I kind of like, that's kind of my thing as well. It's sort of like, it's easy to kind of, you know, let work kind of be, you know, the be all. And when you get home, you're like, oh, I'm so tired. You're like, man, I would love to go see Incendiary, but it's a Wednesday. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like now, going forward, in July or wherever it may be, I don't give, you know, 5:30 after work, I'm going to a show. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I'm
there.
You know, and I miss that a lot. You know, I think that's a big part of it. And I hope, you know, and it's hard to say, like, when all that stuff will come back and when normalcy will come back. If it ever does, who knows?
Do you think that we're going to have a collective PTSD about going to big situations and big, concerts and stuff like that?
See, I mean, you know what? Like, I was talking about that with a buddy of mine this afternoon. Like, you can't help it, like, to kind of be like, well, you know, like.
Yeah.
I feel like the information that we've gotten, you know, I won't get political, but like it's been so sort of haphazard. Like if we get the go ahead, you know, July 15th, that we should be good. Am I going to a show July 17th at like MSG? Probably not.
Yeah. You're
you
like,
know what I mean?
I'm going to wait this one out a little bit.
Right. Like you guys go try and let me know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like I think people are automatically going to be, you know, sort of, it's a little worrisome. And I think, you know, I think there will be, you know, you'll have to have some kind of thought in the back of your head, like, I don't know, like, well, I'll go, but I'm not totally comfortable.
Well,
and I think that's...
In Japan, All Japan Pro Wrestling, I think cases started to go down a little bit, and All Japan ran a show at Currican Hall with like 1,200 people. It was sold out, and then cases started to go up, and they're like, "Oh, they stopped doing that."
Right. So like, as like, you know, everyone's like, "Oh my god!" Like in New York, they're saying that the peak is not until the end of April.
Yeah,
it's looking like that's another month, but like, it's not going to be like, and then May 10th, everyone's back to work. It's going to be like, you know, then it's going to start slowly declining. Who the hell knows how long it's going to take, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, people are really chomping at the bit to, like, you know, all these shows, like, I've watched a ton of stuff online, you know.
Yeah.
Ben Gibbard from Death Cab did a bunch of stuff, and that, like, Code Orange thing was amazing. But, like, it still doesn't take the place of that live show. So, I mean, I think people are going to be in a rush to get back, but everyone's going to have it in the back of their head that it's like, oh, boy, I hope this is okay.
So what are some other things you would suggest people get into, any forms of entertainment to kind of like, you know, get outside of the, cause you know, it's important to stay in tune with things and stay up to date with news, but, you know, you can't be sucked into it constant. It is important to have, those distractions. What are some things, maybe some TV shows you would suggest people binge or some movies that they may not know about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, any kind of podcast is not like, I made the mistake when it was first going on. There were like two like Corona podcasts that I downloaded. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yep.
Like, I'm going to drive myself crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, I'm deleting these. These are gone. So, you know, listen to podcasts about movies. I listen to a ton of those. I listen to like a ton of wrestling ones, a ton of music ones. Do that. If you like video games, I peer pressured a buddy of mine who's working from home, who's a teacher, to get one, and I was like, he's married and his wife's a psychiatrist, and I was like, you need to buy a second controller because everyone makes fun of us when you get one, and when it's in the house, everybody wants to play.
Yep.
and he didn't get a second one, and now he had a back order one because his wife was like, that actually looked like fun. I'm like, welcome. I watched that Tiger King thing, which was just insane.
Yeah,
it's terrible, and they're terrible human beings. And I wasn't watching it to expect them to be like virtue, like paragons of some of virtue. I thought they were terrible people.
But you can't look away.
No, it's insane. It's insane. I just got off the phone with my old mom, and she was like, "Have you watched Tiger King?" She goes, "Your sister says I shouldn't watch it." I go, "No, it's awful, but it's hilarious. Like, it's amazing." And
yeah.
I'm like, having toured the world and toured the country, I'm not shocked that this exists. It's still shocking to watch. You know what I mean? It'd be like the twists and turns. I'm like, everyone's turning on each other. It's watching the best wrestling feud ever. I started watching a show called McMillions.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Which is on HBO. The whole premise is, I mean, it's a documentary. So, I mean, I'm sure you remember as a kid, McDonald's did that, like, Monopoly game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember you'd, like, get the game pieces from the soda, like, and from the, like, French fries and stuff?
Oh, I was a player.
So it turned out that entire thing was f***ed.
Oh, no. What?
And there was one person... Like, so you would win, like, you know, the little, like, kind of, you might win a TV from Best Buy or whatever. But, like, the million-dollar prizes and the houses and the boats and stuff was all related to this one guy. And, like, he would rig it so his family members would win, but they all had different names. So, like, different last names. So you wouldn't know they were related. So it would be like, you know, his sister would, like, you know, would win, but it would be in his brother-in-law's name, so it wouldn't match it, like... I've gotten, it's like 8 episodes something. So I don't, like, that's like, you know that from the get-go. That's like the premise, so it's not like I didn't spoil anything.
Yeah.
But that's pretty impressive. That's like super intense. I'm trying to think what movies I've watched recently that I really like. If you haven't seen Uncut Gems.
Oh, yeah.
Well worth it.
Speaking of Mike Francesa, nice little cameo in there.
Hey, I mean, that was that's the best he's done in a very long time. The most likable he's been. I'm also, I don't know, like, we were talking about the whole, like, direct to, like, streaming stuff, which I find kind of fascinating. And I don't know if this will be, like, really, really, you know, be an impact on theaters going forward.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to see The Invisible Man.
I loved it.
It looks great. Like, at first I was like, this premise sounds, like, I mean, I'm thinking of the guy, like, wrapped in, you know, like a mummy.
Sure.
But I saw that the trailer looks great. I want to see that. I want to see The Hunt.
Oh, I've heard that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that had gotten, it was supposed to be out, like, months ago. But, I mean, the whole premise is, it's kind of like Battle Royale or... And it's like left wing versus right wing people. And
yeah.
Like, neither side are likable.
Yep.
But yeah, so I'm looking. Yeah, I'm trying to do one of those. I'm trying to think if I've watched any other movies yet. I watched The League a lot. For like, it's one of those, like, everyone watches The Office a million times. Mm-hmm. I watched The League a thousand times. Have you ever watched that?
I have not watched The League. Maybe I should dive into that. I'm rewatching The Wire.
You know, I've never watched The Wire because it's been like I was so late to the game, and everyone's like. It's like the best television show ever. It's such a daunting task.
Yeah.
Like, dive in. But I feel like if there's any time in my entire life that I'm going to have the ability to do so, now is that time.
Yeah, man. And it's, yes, absolutely. And now's the time. I just finished The Sopranos, actually before all of this stuff happened. Now I'm doing The Wire, and I'm also doing the new season of Ozark.
That, yeah. You know what? I watched the first season of that, and I loved it. Totally kind of flaked on the second one. So I want to go back and watch the second season because I heard the third season's even crazier.
There's tons of stuff to keep us occupied and keep our minds. Obviously, stay tuned with the news and everything and everything. But we do need to, you know, keep ourselves occupied. Axe to Grind, putting out tons of podcasts, whether you're on the Patreon or the free feed. I would suggest definitely checking out Axe to Grind. And my question for you, my last question for you is... Actually, I have two questions. Okay.
Sure.
So, you are a non-drinker, I know that, but if we were to go to karaoke and we were to give you a free non-alcoholic beverages, we would just get you, you would be in a good mood, all your friends would be drinking, right. Give you some sugar. What is your go-to karaoke song, Tom?
You know what? Oh, man, Rob, it's tough. I would probably do, what kind of karaoke are we talking?
Dude.
Like, can I get, like, a Pantera song on there, or is it strictly, like, Meatloaf?
It's open, man. It could be hardcore karaoke if you want. But yeah, Pantera, man. If you want to do Pantera, I'm all for it.
I'm going to do, I would like to do Street Justice by the Cro-Magnon.
Nice. Dude, that's, there you go.
Well, it's almost a little, I can't always backfill. So like, I can't necessarily pick a Pantera song in good faith.
Fair enough, brother. Okay, so last question, Tom. What are four albums that changed your life for the better?
Changed my life for the better. I would say Master of Puppets.
Yes.
By Metallica, clearly. The Minor Threat discography.
Mm-hmm.
Sick of It All, Blood, Sweat, No Tears.
Hell yeah.
And Leeway, Desperate Measures.
Right on. That's a good choice, man. And if you don't know those records, I'm assuming you probably know Metallica, but the rest, definitely check out. I believe they're all available, you know, streaming and whatnot. Tom, man, thanks for taking the time. I know you're super busy. I know it's probably like around 9 o'clock over where you are. You probably got to get up early in the morning.
Thanks for having me. Say hello to Ian for me. I hope all is well out there, and hopefully we'll see you guys soon.
Absolutely, brother. Stay safe, stay sane, and I'll talk to you soon, bro.
You too, man. Thank you. This has been Metal Shop's
Backstage Pass. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.